CrossFit helped get me back to like where I was.
Okay.
And so I ended up winning my age group and found out as a result of that, that I had qualified for age group nationals the following summer.
Ladies and gents, we are back officially. I am your host, Paul Wenzel, and we are on Chartered Performance. It is a gorgeous sunny day here in Cleveland in late January. We're at the Lollapalooza / Burning Man of strength training and functional fitness. And our goal, as always, is to learn and apply from the best and brightest by dissecting and deconstructing their personal journeys and accumulate a wealth of knowledge and experience to elevate your performance inside and outside the confines of the gym. Before we get to our guest, here's what I'm up to now. I'm currently holding a full-time job, coach close to 10 hours a week, host 2 podcasts, including Uncharted, run 2 YouTube channels, run a travel blog, and train. That said, energy and more importantly, focus are at a premium. I can only guess and assume that many of you have as hectic or even busier schedules with work, family, side hustles, side projects, commuting, you name it. All this can lead to adrenal fatigue and result in depression, sleep problems, weight increase, and insulin insensitivity. Not exactly factors associated with productivity and performance. So what do I do? What do we do? In order to attain peak productivity, we need to be in an optimal mood, have ample energy, low levels to zero stress, sharp focus, be more efficient without crashing or tolerance buildup. Recently, I was introduced to Azoth 2.0, and unlike commonly used caffeinated beverages that only address focus or energy, Azoth 2.0 addresses all parts of productivity. So what is Azoth 2.0 exactly? It is the ultimate productivity formula containing patented ingredients to increase energy, focus, motivation, and mood to the next level without crashes, jitters, tolerance buildup, or withdrawals, all the things we want to avoid. What does Azoth 2.0 do exactly? It leads to a reduction in cortisol, increases blood flow and oxygen to the brain, increases energy without jitters, optimizes sense of well-being and mood. If that wasn't enough, the team at Azoth have a fully disclosed label so the consumers can exactly see what is in the product, nor are they supported by any VCs, venture capitalists, or any outside investment. We are beyond excited for this product and the immense success it has had in our collaboration with the Azoth team. If you're interested in trying this incredible product, please use the link in our show notes on our website and use the coupon code UNCHARTED, all caps, for 10% off at seekingazoth.com. Now to this week's guest. Swim, bike, run with a generous offering of CrossFit are on this episode's agenda. We are joined by the super energetic and awesome Morgan Neal of Team USA, who reminds us to never forget and never give up on our passion. This past year in 2017, Morgan finished in the top 40 in the world in her age division, but getting here or there was definitely not a straight line. We go back to college for a little bit, then lose our way for a few years before getting back into the sport she loves and how that introduced her to the competitive world of triathlons. Morgan describes the process it took her to qualify for Team USA and her experience competing at the world stage. The episode would not be complete without dissecting her training and what she has benefited from the most, as well as both the challenges and opportunities that living in Cleveland provides a seasoned triathlete. When you guys have a moment, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. If you're in the market or looking for new high-quality equipment, jump to Rogue Fitness using the link on our website in the sidebar on chartedperformance.com. And last but not least, make sure to tag us on Instagram or Twitter whenever you are catching the show. And with that, enjoy our conversation with Morgan. Take care, guys. We are back because we never left. We're back in location at Black Flag Athletics with Morgan Neal.
Hey.
Morgan, what's up? How are you?
Good. I'm excited to be on your podcast. I feel flattered.
No, we're honored to have you. You just came off, you finished 37th in the world in your age group?
I did, yes.
As triathlons, right?
Yes, as an amateur in my age group.
Okay, that's still pretty big time.
Yeah, it's it's exciting. I have to remind myself, because when you say 37th, it's kind of like, weird to be proud of. Like, I was 37th, but then I remind myself that it was like the top athletes in the world.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people in the world.
Yeah. So when I think about it that way, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then you just qualified
for 2018, right?
Yes. So
for Team USA, yeah.
So the same.
Remind everybody, this is, we are now talking to a Team USA member.
Yes.
That's what's up. Mic drop.
Yeah. Yeah, I did just get my letter qualifying me for next year's ITU World Championships, which is in Australia.
Okay.
So I haven't.
That's a much longer trip than Rotterdam.
It is. And Rotterdam was kind of long as well. But I haven't fully committed yet to going.
Are you serious? Why would you not go?
Just the logistics. Okay. And it's pretty expensive, actually.
Oh, Team USA doesn't pay for it?
No, you know, surprisingly.
They don't.
But I don't know. I mean, I may focus on nationals next year as my A race. It's in Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
So I'm super excited about that.
The logistics with that one went much easier.
Yes. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to rule it out yet. I've always wanted to go to Australia, and it would be pretty cool. And I think now that I have one international race under my belt, I feel, you know, like a little more comfortable. And I think I could definitely have a little more confidence going into it.
How was the experience racing in Rotterdam?
I mean, looking back on it, it was awesome. But in the moment, it was intense. I mean, it was crazy. It was a whirlwind couple of days. You know, you fly in and immediately there's, you know, warm-ups that you have to attend. You know, they only have certain times that you can get in the water. They have certain times, you know, where you can ride the bike course. They have a lot of meetings for first-time athletes to go over all the rules and go over the course and, you know, race day. So that was a lot, I think. You know, there's not a lot of time to rest and really, like, settle in. You're in a different time zone. And the weather was a big challenge.
Was it colder?
It was very cold.
Okay.
In the low 50s, rained entire first 3 days we were there. So you're out riding the bike course in the pouring rain. You're out doing the open water swim, and like we had like 30-mile-per-hour winds. People were like getting rescued. Like out, these are like legit athletes,
okay.
And you know there's huge waves. So that added another element to the craziness of already, like, you know, you're in another country, trying to figure things out. But looking back, I'm like, gosh, I like met so many cool people, like other Team USA athletes from all over the US, obviously. On the way over the morning of the race, you had to take a ferry, which was, that was a whole nother, added element. And I sat with a bunch of athletes from New Zealand. So it was really cool. And I mean, you're competing next to people from, you know, Japan, Australia, Great Britain, had a ton of athletes there. Okay. So it's cool.
Did you have a goal in mind going into?
I did. Okay. So yeah, I set some goals at the beginning of the season. You know, it's hard because it's such a new experience and you don't really know what to expect. My initial goal was top 20 in the world. So not there yet, but,
That might be a good thing, right?
Yeah. So it's something to work up towards. Yeah. I have another, you know, one reason to go to Australia next year is it would be my last year in this age group.
Okay.
Before then I age into the next one. So I don't know what that will bring. But yeah, so I think there's room for improvement. I think I could accomplish that.
Cool. You have a dog, right?
I have two dogs.
You have two dogs. Okay.
Yes, I'm a crazy dog mom.
And they train with you, right? Because I saw this. Well, train, quote unquote, right? They help you.
I don't know if you would call it helping me train. No.
No. Okay. So.
They, you'd think I would have like a dog that would like want to go running with me.
But they go swimming with you, right?
They do swim. Okay. Our one loves to open water swim. So I've gotten in the water with her a few times. She wasn't really interested in me swimming.
Who's a better swimmer, Brooks or that dog?
Definitely the dog.
Okay. Right. I just want to throw Brooks in there somehow.
I know. Yeah. Brooks is not. Brooks is my husband.
Great guy. A lot of fun.
Yeah. We are like complete opposites when it comes to working out. So yeah, I don't really have any like training buddies in my family.
Okay.
Brooks came from like stick and ball sports. He can sprint for like 100 meters and then it's like time to walk. So we don't work out together. But I think that's good. You know, kind of gives us like our, besides CrossFit, we do, you know, go to Black Flag together. And that's been something fun to do. But yeah, it, the rest of it, it kind of gives us time to, you know, do our own thing and have our own passions. And then he's, you know, super supportive of it all, but.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. We should introduce Brooks. I mean, he probably already knows him, but with Pete Nelson, right?
Oh, yeah.
The older, right?
Yes.
You also just ran your first trail race, right?
I did, yeah.
How did that go?
It was cool. Okay.
Why did you run it? Because you've never done it before, right?
Yeah, I'd never done any trail racing. I've done some trail running, but not recently when I was younger. And there are just a couple people from the triathlon team that I do some training with. Mm-hmm. They were going out to this race. The race company puts on some triathlons too around the region. And they're doing this Viking Dash trail series. And everyone was talking about it. That'd be cool. Like you could win a sword. And I didn't really know, you know, what that all meant. Uh-huh. But I was like, you know, it'd be fun just to like cap off this season and do something totally different. Okay. Because in a triathlon, you're not doing any trail running. In the type of triathlons that I do, I should say, you know, you're typically just like out on a road down and back or, you know, maybe it's in sidewalks, but, this was unexpectedly challenging. It was probably the most difficult course that I've ever run on. And the race director,
including triathlons that you've done. Okay.
Yeah. The race director even kind of like warned everyone, you know, ahead of time that this was like their most challenging course. It was like the most challenging course he had, I think, put together. So a lot of hills, stairs, like going straight up. And it was very, it was a trail. So there was a lot of roots and things you're like running over. But I loved it. It was just something totally different. And then I end.
You got a Viking sword.
Yes. I ended up winning the female 15K, which thank God I didn't do. I almost signed up for the half marathon distance, which I like would have died. But yeah, I ended up winning the females overall and won a legit Viking sword that like has a, I think it's called a sheath. Someone told me.
Yeah,
like
okay. The holder.
Yes.
The sword holder.
Yes. So it's like legit, like you need it in the holder. Cause
it'll cut somebody.
It could. Yeah.
Okay. You can stab somebody.
I can use it as like
a weapon.
Yes. And I got some trail running shoes. So now I need to do some more trail running.
So you're going to do more in the future?
I think so.
Awesome. What did you do with the Viking sword?
It's in my office.
Okay.
I work from home. It's in my office. I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with
it. If you're looking to move it, I know a guy.
You want it?
No, not me, but a friend of ours, Mark Valenti, Blind Dog.
Okay.
Yeah, he might.
He's into
history and Viking and savagery. So.
Yeah, people were like, I guess it was a big deal. Like everyone wanted to hold it after.
Yeah, I mean, it's not every day somebody brings a Viking sword to work.
I know. I'm like, gosh, why don't we like win cool stuff like that in triathlons? Like they need to up their game for awards.
You should get a movement going.
Yeah, I know.
Take us back, all right?
Yeah.
What is your background? Because you swam in college, right?
Yes, for a year.
Okay.
I swam my freshman year of college at Ohio University.
What did you do in high school?
I also swam in high school.
Okay.
Played lacrosse for a little while as well.
Okay.
I swam from like the time I was competitively from about 7 years old. And played lacrosse, you know, one season out of the year, from about the same age until, like sophomore year of college. So every spring I would play lacrosse as kind of just like something to do and get out of the pool. But yeah, so swimming was like, you know, my main focus. My dad was my swim coach my whole life growing up. He was a very good competitive swimmer, swam at UNC in college, and then has had his own club team, as well as been like the high school coach.
How was it to have your dad as your coach?
It was, I mean, I think there's positives and then there's like things that make it like more difficult, but,
pretend he won't hear or watch.
Yeah, no, okay, no, he's probably heard all of this before, but no, I mean, I feel extremely lucky that, you know, he's so knowledgeable in swimming and, honestly is, you know, one of the best coaches out there. He's coached, you know, some really like world-class athletes. But yeah, there's struggles to that too. You kind of feel like, hey, I can't miss this practice because I can't like say I'm not feeling good because you know as if I'm like really sick or not. And I think sometimes there's additional expectation that comes with that too. Okay. Like, you know, push me a little bit harder. But it's nice to have, you know, someone you know as your coach too and go to meets together. And I just grew up around it. It just was something that I, from the time I was a baby, I was like kind of like the little mascot of the team. So it was just like what I knew growing up. Okay. It was actually like strange going to college and like having a different coach, like someone that I hadn't, you know, lived with my whole life. Yeah. But yeah, so I grew up swimming and around, I think it was like around age 16, I don't even remember where I had heard of triathlons. It may have been at this camp that I went to, which we can get into like a little bit later.
Okay.
But I decided, you know, I wanted to just try something else. And not that I wasn't swimming, I was still swimming, but I was like, this triathlon thing sounds kind of cool. I didn't know anyone who did it. I didn't really even know what you do. I had a mountain bike. And I looked up on the internet, you know, some local triathlons and my mom drove me to my first one. It was actually a duathlon, which, was strange. Like, I don't know why I picked a duathlon to do when I was a swimmer. So like a duathlon is running and biking.
Okay.
So I did this duathlon, but, as a result, like I really liked it. And so I started doing more of these in the, in the, I wouldn't even say in the off season. I kind of just would, when I didn't have swim meets, would go and do like a local triathlon on the side, but it was never like a main focus for me. So swimming was really my focus. And, I, you know, in the back of my head, I think like I always knew that I at least wanted to try swimming in college. I definitely like wasn't, you know, one of the best athletes in New York. I worked hard and I was decent. Yeah. But I wasn't getting recruited by like D1 schools by any means. And that's, you know, those are the type of schools that I was looking at going to, for academic reasons. And so I knew I'd have to walk on, to any swim team that where I was going to school. And so I ended up after deciding on OU, I did walk on to the swim team and, you know, made the team and swam for a year. And I'm, you know, looking back, I'm like, gosh, I'm like so glad that I like did it and I tried it. And I think it like sets you on a really good course for like the rest of your college career. As well as like, you know, a lot of things that I've learned about myself that have like transferred over into the rest of my life. But I mean, you truly spend all of your waking hours. If you're not in class, like it's something to do with like swimming. I mean, you're in the pool for 7 hours a day, or you're in the weight room, or you're at study tables, or, you know, just you don't get away from it. So
okay, what are study tables?
Study tables. Like all the athletes had to go to study tables. Like you had to like go and sit in the classroom in the stadium, and you were like required to like do your homework.
Okay, gotcha. Very cool. No, that's I want to emphasize that point because again, we opened the show as Team USA, right?
Yes.
And you were not recruited out of high school, right? So just to make a note of that, if you're listening or watching.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like honestly like just like your ordinary like high school athlete that has found something that they're passionate about. And, yeah, I mean, I think some of these, my background helps with that, but yeah, I mean, walked on to OU, was not a superstar, did not swim at like the MAC championships. But I definitely learned a lot about myself, I think, during that process. And
okay. So what did you learn about yourself?
You know, I've always been a hard worker, but I think the amount of grit and determination, I think that really took. I mean, I would struggle through the workouts. I mean, I was barely making intervals. So it's like you're swimming straight for like 2.5-3 hours. Like you're hitting the wall and the next interval goes off. And I think, you know, you just really learn like what it takes to be an athlete at that level, but also just like what do you have within yourself? Like how far can you push yourself? And I think just from like a perspective of like balancing like life and doing something like that, I think it set me on a good course because you have to be very organized. You have to be, like kind of have a regimen that you're following. I mean, you're balancing being a D1 athlete with school and then also having a social life. I mean, I did go to the number two party school at the time. So
go Bobcast,
when it wasn't dry season, there was definitely some of other things involved. Okay, gotcha. But I think that really helps me now balance like training, life.
So there's been a duration of time, right? Since then to now, right? So what happens after that one season of swimming?
Yeah. So, I mean, as most like people you've talked to that were college athletes or professional athletes, I mean, it's hard because this has like been such a huge part of your life. Like I was a swimmer. Like if someone asked me, like that's who I was. And even at OU, like I only hung out with athletes and swimmers. So it's like, what am I going to do? Like I was burnt out. I knew it was like time for me to like do something else. There's so many things in college that, you know, you can experience. And so I was like, you know, it's time, but how am I going to define myself now?
Exactly.
So I'd had this little background in triathlon and I thought it was fun. And so, you know, around the same time that I was going into my sophomore year, I met another girl, who ran marathons and she'd also done a few triathlons. And so she convinced me that I should train for a marathon, which I did. So I started training with her for the Columbus Marathon and we decided that, hey, like, why don't we start a triathlon club at OU? Because that'd be fun.
Okay.
And, you know, I need something else to take up my time. So we started a triathlon club and got some members to join. And we ended up being like a club sport at OU. And so I started doing like more triathlons through that. And I, you know, was running some marathons here and there. And, you know, it was kind of just like something that I did to stay busy.
Okay.
And I would say, like I said, more of my time, like managing the club than like
actually
probably like training myself and like
clubbing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. We had some socials too, but, I mean, that's kind of like where triathlon started to come into the picture a little bit more for me.
Gotcha. When did you realize you can be good?
Or were I don't know you? If I would say, I still
don't
feel comfortable saying that I'm a good amateur age group.
Gotcha.
Wait, no.
When did you start taking it more seriously?
Yeah.
When did you start, I guess, seeing or recognizing that this could be something that you could maybe be, again, a lot more passionate about?
Yeah.
And a lot more serious about?
So I feel like I've always had like this like little inkling that like this could be like something that I could be good at. And it's like always something that I've wanted to focus more of my time on. But I like just, I don't know if there was other distractions or if I just didn't know like how, you know, I'd had like so much structure to like the rest of my like athletic background. Like you have a swim coach and he's telling you what to do and, you know, you follow their programming. Yeah. And so when I started doing triathlons, I didn't like, I knew you have to swim and I knew you had to bike and run, but the only thing I knew how to like train for was swimming.
Okay.
So, for like up until like the past couple of years, like I really, when I was doing triathlons, just used like that swimming endurance that I'd had like my whole life to tide me over into the rest of like the biking and running. And, you know, I was running marathons and, I knew I was decent, like at running. The second marathon I ran, I qualified for Boston.
Okay.
Not really like, again, even really knowing what that.
It's a recurring
meant.
Theme today.
Yeah. I know. I heard Pete say that. And so I knew I had like all these things, like pieces of the puzzle, but, I, up until I, long story, there's like some things in there, you know, of how I arrived, but, I started doing CrossFit and I hadn't been racing. I'd taken a break of doing any triathlons for like 4 or 5 years. I'd taken some time off running because I just was getting injured and I found CrossFit and Black Flag. And I started kind of like getting back into that, training, doing something.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, maybe this is like the piece that I was like missing from some of my training.
Were you just running biking and swimming?
Yeah. So.
And were you coaching yourself?
Yeah. I was just, you know, we find like a training plan online.
Okay.
And that was like what we were doing for our tri club at OU. I would write some of the swim workouts, but other than that, I was like just I'd find something online. It was like, oh, this is how you should like train for a sprint triathlon. And so we kind of like follow that. After college, kind of take you quickly like through like how I ended up like realizing maybe this is something I should focus on.
Yeah, please.
More seriously. So, you know, kind of just for fun, did triathlons throughout college, but was never like really great at them. Cause again, like, I just don't think I had like that focus or really knew what I was doing. And then I stopped triathlons after, graduation and really, I moved to Arizona for a year, and came back, then came back to OU for grad school. But during that time, I just like started running. Okay. It was just something that's like easy to do. You can walk out the door, you know, it's a stress reliever. And so I ran a handful of marathons. But I started noticing like I was just getting injured like all of the time. Okay. And it was probably because now I've learned like not stretching, not doing any strength training, like doing any like nutrition supplements. So, I just was getting these like nagging reoccurring injuries. And so, we were in Cincinnati, for a couple years before we moved to Cleveland. And I ran one marathon and then just was getting injured. And so I just kind of stopped like doing anything. Which was weird for me. So, but maybe I just needed like a little breather. And then when we moved to Cleveland, Brooks and I decided we'd been hearing a lot about CrossFit. We'd like tried a few classes in Cincinnati. But it wasn't like really like a great gym now, especially looking back on like our Black Flag experience. So we started doing CrossFit and I was like, you know, like I said, I'm like, this is maybe like what I was missing in my training. And I started like getting the triathlon bug, like again, like I was thinking of it.
Okay. So you didn't necessarily shelve it completely. It was kind of hiding.
Yeah. It's weird. Cause
in the corner,
if you would ask me, I'd still be like, I'm a triathlete, but I'm like, I haven't done a triathlon in like 5 years. Okay. So it's like part of my persona, I guess. But,
so you identify yourself still as a triathlete.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd always in the back of my head, I'm like, you know, eventually I'll do one. So we come to Black Flag. And at the time, there was a couple members who've since they've moved, but they did triathlons. Mm-hmm. And so we started connecting on that and they trained with a group, PR triathlon team that trains on the west side, like where we live of Cleveland. So I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe I'll like check out a workout. Like, I haven't been in the pool in like years. I mean, probably since college, like the end of my triathlon career then. So I started going to like a couple of practices while still doing CrossFit and, I decided this was 2 years ago, two and a half years ago. I just decided in the middle of the summer that I hadn't really been training. I'd gone to like a few triathlon practices here and there, but I'd been doing CrossFit very consistently and I felt like I was like in decent shape. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to do the Cleveland Triathlon. Like I know some people doing it.
The full?
The sprint.
Okay.
So I did it and ended up winning my age group. and come to find out.
You're an asshole, by the way. Yeah, I just started triathleting again and I just won it. Okay.
So all the years of, I don't know, all the years of
accumulated
swimming
time,
and running.
Yeah.
Yes. But I truly think like CrossFit helped get me back to like where I was.
Okay.
And so I ended up winning my age group and found out as a result of that I had qualified for age group nationals the following summer.
Based on winning?
Yes.
Okay.
So to qualify for age group nationals, you just have to win your age group at a USAT sanctioned race.
Okay.
Or I think there's like, if it's a big race, like finish in the top percentage.
I think it's like similar to like USS Strongman kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Totally unrelated, but yeah. Yes. You just like need to come in like top three and then you get.
So it's not like I really did anything like that.
I mean, it's pretty, all right, don't, let's not, you know.
So I qualified and I still didn't even like really know like what that meant.
Okay.
But the coach of PR triathlon team was like, this, like, that's awesome. Like, this is like a really cool, this is like a really cool thing. Like, you should be proud of yourself. And so I started like thinking like, okay, well maybe like I should actually like train for this next summer. And again, like still I'd never like followed a training plan. You know, I just had never had any like direction, I guess, with triathlon besides just going out and racing. So around the same time, Tom Rainey had taken over Black Flag and started like the, at the time it was like NLA, like Next Level Athlete Program. And I'm like, I wonder if like Tom would be open to like doing some sort of like programming for me. And I like honestly didn't know like what that would even look like. I at a minimum was thinking like, how can I continue to incorporate CrossFit and some of like the strength training into like some of the other triathlon things. Okay. And so Tom was like all about it, which is not surprising.
Yeah, exactly.
and it was, so I was like super excited that he was willing to take it on. I mean, he's like so knowledgeable, obviously, about like human performance and just, you know, everything that goes into like an elite athlete, but you know, he doesn't have any triathlon background. So I think it was like something different for him. So we, that next season, I think I decided like made the commitment that I was going to like train for nationals in August in like March. And so we sat down and he started writing up a program and it was like a very intense, like what, 5 months of training.
Yeah. He actually showed it to me.
Yeah. That first year. Yeah. And so I planned out some races to do and followed the training and went to nationals. And I still didn't really, like, I knew I kind of had a goal. Like, when I knew I was going to nationals, I still didn't really, like, know what that meant when I, like, committed, like, to training for it. And, like, through the PR triathlon coach, Dan Smith, I kind of like credit him for like always putting like these ideas in my head. Cause I never knew like what nationals was and I never knew what the world championships was really. And so he kind of like put this bug in my head, like you should like try to qualify for worlds. Okay. Like, I think you could do it. And I'm like, really? And so then I like started thinking about it like over the next like few weeks. And then that's when like Tom and I really started sitting down and I'm like, maybe like if I follow this plan, like I can actually accomplish that. So that's kind of how I ended up
in Rotterdam.
Yes.
Long story short.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. I think that's actually a really good spot to take a quick break.
Okay.
And we're actually going to talk a little bit more about training and what maybe I'm thinking what you need, what your areas of improvement.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put it nicely.
Okay.
And I can't believe I just called you an asshole like 5 minutes ago.
That's the first. I'll forgive you.
All right. We'll be right back, guys. Still got to train though, bro.
I'm going to do some CrossFit.
We're back. All right, we are back with Team USA member.
Make me uncomfortable.
I'm good. Morgan Neal. All right, so just educate me and the listeners real quick. What is a triathlon? We know bike, run, and swim, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that's but what are the distances?
Yeah.
And what's the order?
It's not that order.
Exactly.
I wish the swim was last. That would be like most beneficial to me when people are tired and then try to get them to get in and swim. No, the order is swim, bike, and then run. And there's tons of different distances.
Okay.
The one that I've been focused on the most is what they call, in the US, they call it the Olympic distance.
Okay.
But internationally, they call it like the standard.
Not surprising.
So that is a mile swim and then a 24-mile bike and a 6-mile run.
Okay.
But there are sprint triathlons too, so that's half of that distance.
Gotcha.
And then there's obviously the half Ironman or 70.3 distance.
Okay.
And then the crazy people that do Ironmans.
Have you ever thought about doing Ironman?
Yeah.
Thought about it.
I have.
That's in Hawaii, right?
That's like the granddaddy of
Ironman.
Yes, that's the world championship.
Oh, gotcha. So there's different Ironmans.
There's, the Ironman brand has a lot of races out there, and that's like how it kind of I think became like well known. But other companies put them on too. They call them the 140.6 distance, that's how many miles you go.
Okay.
But yeah, if you had asked me like 10 years ago, for sure, I'd be like, that's on my bucket list. I'm going to do one. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I probably will. But now that I like really know, because before I like kind of would just go out and do these. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, just, you know, I would just go out.
Yeah, that's what people do.
I actually did a few half Ironmans. Again, like not really training. Mm-hmm. But now that I like know like what it goes into it, and it's hard because I'm really competitive. So if I'm going to do something, like I want to do it well. Okay. And so I don't know. I mean, it's like a full-time job to train for an Ironman.
Okay. So let's take that, because you do have a regular job. You're in sales.
Yes.
Yep. If I'm correct.
Yep.
You told me before.
Stalking me on LinkedIn. Pete, you're following Pete on LinkedIn. And
I did.
Yeah, you followed me on LinkedIn. Yeah, you're right.
Gotta do my studies.
Yeah.
When do you find time to train?
It's hard. You know, I my job is stressful, I will say, but one benefit that I have that I think has really helped have like the opportunity to do some of this training is that I work from home.
Okay.
So, I mean, you're taking out commute time,
yeah,
which is nice. Yeah. I'm not sitting in the car. And then, you know, I have the flexibility. Like if I need to get up and work out at lunch, and I'm in sales, so I'm out sometimes with clients and stuff. So there is some of that. And, you know, there could be evenings and things where you have events but I would say working from home, like you have the flexibility. Like I can go out and do a lunchtime workout, or I can go, you know, I don't have to get dressed. So I can work out in the morning and then just shower quickly and put my workout clothes back on, or, you know, whatever. So I don't have to like get dressed necessarily for being presentable. So I think some of that has definitely helped, and like feel fortunate that I have that flexibility, because I don't know how you would, I don't know how people with kids do it. I'm like, I have two dogs and I feel like they take up a lot of my time too.
For sure. I did the bike, run and swim.
Yeah.
Which were you not as good as the other two when this started getting more serious?
Yeah. So swimming, obviously I have that covered. Yeah. and running, I just have like always gravitated. Like I just like to run. When I was like ages like 12, 13, 14, I went to this, we can talk about this more too, but I went to this open water swimming camp. But in addition to open water swimming, they do like all these other activities. And that was like the first time I'd done any running, because like every morning you have to swim and then you run a mile. And then they would have activities like a 12K run, because like, why not? Like you're 12, 13, like go out, make these kids run 12K, 12 kilometers. But like I always did really well and I liked it. Running just never, like cross country was during high school swim season and track was during lacrosse season. So it was just never like an opportunity to do that. But I enjoy running. So biking for me is like, seems weird because you think like everyone can ride a bike. So it
seems straightforward, I guess.
It is. I mean, to a certain extent, it is straightforward. But
as an outsider looking in.
And that's what I always thought too. Yeah. But as I've gotten deeper into this sport, I've realized that like the bike is truly like the most important part of a triathlon. So it kind of sucks that
my weakness. Why is it the most important?
It's the longest portion of the race. And the swim is the shortest. So as long as you can like struggle through the swim and get out, like you can catch up on the bike. Okay. And there's so much that goes into the bike, more than you would think. And what I'm learning about is just like there's technique involved.
Okay. Was riding a bike?
No. Okay. the equipment is like, I mean, that's a whole nother thing like that you could get into. At the same time spend like thousands of dollars on just to like gain a few seconds, minutes. And it truly does like save time. And so there's just a lot of components that go into it besides also just like you need to get out and do it a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I tricked my dad into doing his first triathlon.
Oh.
I think he's 67.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And because I told him I was going to do it with him.
Did you sign up?
I punked out.
And he did it?
He did it. He did the Cleveland Sprint a couple years back. And that's now, awesome. And now he's addicted to them.
Did we do it the same year?
I think you might have, actually. Yeah, you might have. No.
Like three summers ago.
No, it was two. Oh. So, yeah. So
but he's I was a year there. Behind.
Yeah, exactly. But he got hooked, and now he's, like, always looking for the next one.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
And trying to do, you know, Olympic distances now.
Yeah.
At the ripe age of 68.
That's the thing about triathlon. Like, you can get into it at any age. My mom just did her first triathlon this year,
nice.
Too. She qualified. She won. She did the super sprint at Mommy Bay. She won her age group. And now you can qualify for nationals through any distance. So you don't have to, like, it used to just be like sprint or Olympic distance would qualify you for Olympic distance nationals. Now it's like, could do any distance. So I'm like, you got it. It's Cleveland. Like, come on, train for an Olympic distance. But
where I'm going with that, I'm sorry to go off on a tangent, is the bike is insane. Some of the prices for bikes are like, like
you need to have it. Like,
yes. So what we did is we pitched in for his birthday and,
that's awesome.
To get him a bike, but those things are not cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, but supposedly now you can ride faster because it weighs like air, right? Which is nothing supposedly.
Yeah, and then you got to upgrade the wheels and you have to just everything can be lighter and faster. The helmet. I have like, Brooks like thinks it's the funniest looking thing ever, but the aero helmets that like.
Like very long along your back.
So yeah, you can just.
Spaceman.
Yes, you can find, I don't know if I posted that, but I have a funny photo when I got it for Christmas. I don't think I posted that on.
So you have to share that because we'll use it as a cover photo then.
I don't know about podcast. That.
One thing that I have talked to him about, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, but relatively speaking, you are rather petite.
Yeah.
Is, you know, getting into the water when the race starts. I heard it's not like the most cordial thing that's happening.
I love it.
You do? Why? And how do you prepare yourself mentally for that? Because I would freak out, I think. If I'm not a great swimmer, first, I can swim, but not open water is one thing, which I want to get into. I can swim in a pool, but also like jumping in the water with, you know, however many other people that are just kind of, you know, kicking and screaming, trying to get ahead of you. How do you prepare mentally? And then how do you stay composed so you don't freak out? And then try to get ahead.
Yeah. So water swimming can be really intimidating. I think that's like the hardest part for most people. Like people want, like, I think more people would do triathlons if they didn't have to do like the open water swim. Yeah. I mean, there is some triathlons that you can do in a pool, but that is definitely something you need to practice. Like I know sometimes people just practice in the pool and they get to race day. And it, like you said, it's like something that you have never experienced before. For me, my trick is like get out as fast as possible.
Okay.
To get away from all of that craziness.
So you try to beat them to the water?
Yes.
Okay.
Or no. Well, it depends. So some triathlons have an in-water start.
Okay.
Like nationals. Actually, nationals and worlds had an in-water start. So you're all just lined up like along a dock holding on and then you push off and go.
Okay. But still there's a like, you know, a school of dolphins.
Yes. So I just try to like get out as fast as possible to get like clear water.
Okay.
But if you're not as an experienced triathlete and you're nervous about it, I would say
experienced swimming.
Yeah. I would say your first few times, like it's not going to be detrimental. Just like hang back for a few seconds. Okay. So you don't get like swum on top of, or your goggles kicked off or kicked in the face. Yeah. But I do have a lot of open water swimming background.
Okay.
So for me, it's kind of like second nature now. Which I think is one of the advantages of triathlon for me. So I actually like find a lot of like calm in open water swimming because it's kind of just like.
But once you're by yourself, right? Or no, even with everybody else.
Yeah, even with everyone else, I kind of just, I like it.
So
and I like to just, you got to just be aggressive. I don't know.
How did you transition out of the pool to open water?
Yeah. So, well, I still train in the pool.
Okay.
I mean, in the winters and stuff, you have to.
Yeah.
But
like back in the day, right? You were. I'm assuming you were an indoor swimmer, right?
Yeah, I was an indoor swimmer, but I had mentioned this before, but there was this swim camp, way up in the middle of nowhere in Canada called Camp Accomack. That there's a boys' camp too called Camp Chicopee, my dad and all his brothers had gone there. I think my grandfather had gone there too, or had like coached there. So long history, family history of going to this camp. And they were like the first competitive swimming camp in the world, but they do all of their training in the open water in the lake. So when I turned, like, it was like 12 or 13, it was like, hey, you should go to this summer camp. It's like 4 weeks. Some people go the whole 7 weeks. So I started going to this camp when I was really young. And every morning you wake up, there's no electricity in the cabins. You wake up to like this big bell ringing in the background and it's freezing cold. And you, like 7 a.m., you wake up and you go down to the dock and you have to jump in and swim a mile. And they have people in canoes following you out there. And you, they carry your running stuff. So then you put on your running shoes and then you run back and then you get breakfast. But then you do like all the workouts. So they have like, you do three workouts a day, that morning swim. They had a pool set up in the open water. So like lane lines and like these two docks and you'd like swim between them. And then you would do another workout during the day that was like another open water swim. But I mean, they would have us swimming like 3 mile swims. Like they had like a crazy 7 mile swim that some people would do. So I learned at an early age just to like be comfortable with it.
Great. No takeaways here. No, yeah. Start early, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just practice. Okay. Like truly that's the only thing that's going to make you comfortable. Open water swimming is just doing more of it.
Okay.
And it's not I was lucky because that camp was like clear water. There's no boats on that lake. But it's a little harder like in Cleveland, like Lake Erie is like not the
cleanest.
Yeah. Make sure to like take your airborne after. some people like take shots of apple cider vinegar, but after, like drops in your ears. Wow. Yeah.
That's intense. So you are in your off season right now.
Yeah.
So what does the off season kind of look like? And when are you going into preseason?
Yeah, I don't know. Right. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I call it that. I am in my off. I don't know. I'm in my off season right now, whatever that means. I just needed a break. And I think that's important too. Like I needed to catch up on life. You put so many hours into it and just like resting my body. But, yeah, I think like for me, I've, you know, really come to appreciate like CrossFit and how that's benefited my training. And so I think, you know, I'll take a couple months and really just like get back into some strength training. Okay. And, I mean, CrossFit like really is, I mean, you're still gaining a lot from it. Like, I feel like it's enabled me to not have to do like as much volume, like of training.
Gotcha.
And you know, I've been able to use CrossFit, I guess, as like a way to stay in shape.
You have a stronger kick.
Yeah.
When you swim, so if somebody's trying to knock you over,
I'm gonna just do some CrossFit and just have fun, and I'll probably do some like indoor spin workouts with the PR triathlon team for like a month or two, and then I've started thinking about some of my races for next year.
Okay. When are those starting?
Probably there might be some. I did some indoor triathlons last year, like January.
You did the Arnold a few years back.
Yeah. Right? The Arnold now has an indoor triathlon. They have everything. So I might do that again. And then the race season, I'm actually thinking of doing an early season race in Miami just to do something fun and get out of the Cleveland weather. So that's in like April, I think. And then, Nationals is in Cleveland. So that's like, will be my...
Again, logistics won't be a problem.
Yeah. No, it'll be fun. Like home course, home... Uh-huh. Crowd. Hopefully some people will come out and watch.
Black Flag fan will roll deep for sure.
Yeah.
So I usually, this is a common question, but the one question we attempt to ask is what's the one thing or two things you've kind of learned about yourself?
Yeah, that's a good, you're making me think about all these things. Usually I just go out and train.
Just train.
Do.
That might be one, right? Is maybe just, you know, don't overthink things.
Yeah. I mean, that could be one.
But you can use that.
Yeah, it's okay. I won't. I mean, I've learned that like, you really just got to find what you're passionate about and like make no apologies for it and just, you know, commit to it. Okay. And I think I kind of like danced around it for like a long time. Mm-hmm. And, I think, you know, I've really found that this is like, it really defines me and it's something that I really enjoy. And so I, you know, you have to work to fulfill that, I guess. Yeah. So that would be one of them. And then
what has helped you fulfill that? Sorry. Besides yourself and your identification, some external factors that have helped you?
Well, finding like a good support system and like just finding like the right people to like have, I guess, in my corner.
Okay.
Like finding someone to coach me, like do some programming.
That's pretty big, yeah.
And like finding the support through like the triathlon team here and like having Brooks like be a support system, and then just like people like Tracy, Connected PT, and Health Source, like just finding like a good group that really pushes you to like be your best, I guess. And I just like was lucky to like find that. Does that
Yeah, because it reminds me of the previous conversation that we had, that even though it is an individual sport, mm-hmm. You're not necessarily alone, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Right? You have an entire team supporting you.
Yep.
Be that Brooks.
Yeah, or my family.
Just tag. He tags along everywhere. He's like in every picture.
He gets out of a lot of races, I will say, but he's there for the important ones.
All right. Awesome.
So just following your passion and like, you know, not making excuses and just, you know, finding time to fulfill that. And then, cause I mean, you can get so wrapped up in like your work and, you know, other commitments that you have to fulfill. And I think that you can lose like that, like what you truly are passionate about. Yeah. So, and finding just the right team. And then I don't know, learn about myself. Like, I don't know if this is like something like new that I've learned, but I just like, it's reemphasized like that I'm super competitive. And I think that like helps, like, but I just like, I can't just like go and do something. So like, if I do something, I know like I'm going to put, you know, 110% into it and figure out how to, you know, best I can.
Australia, make it happen.
I know.
Let's get a fundraiser going.
I know.
Send Morgan to Australia. Just an idea, right?
Tell my clients.
That's what's up. Yeah. Where can people find you? Social media, anything?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram.
Okay.
Morgan Staley. Brooks is so upset that I haven't changed my...
It's awful.
I started looking up different Instagram handles and they're all taken. So for now it's Morgan Staley.
All right. And we'll link that up.
Okay.
So
can Morgan. Follow my training.
Exactly. Morgan, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Had a blast. This is, hopefully you'll get to do more of these.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
As your fame grows.
And yeah, and we need more triathletes. So everyone's got to try one. You got to try one. Get hooked.
I'm not gonna commit on camera.
Oh, come on. You say it on camera.
I won't. All right, guys. Thank you very much, Morgan. Thanks. Thank you.
Another amazing episode in the books, fam. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. If you are new to the show, don't be afraid to check out other episodes. And if you dig the content, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. If you ever have any questions, feedback, or you just want to hit us up, please don't hesitate. Email address is contact@unchartedperformance, or you can hit me up directly at powell@unchartedperformance.com, Facebook and Instagram @unchartedperformance, and if Twitter is your thing, @reachuncharted. And give us a follow and tag us to let us know who and where you are. As always, thank you for listening and supporting the podcast, and talk to you next week. Cheers, guys.